Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. I'm Paul.
I am John.
And today it is episode 42 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Ambush.
This episode was written by Gyo Yamatoya, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, Kobe built himself a robot that's more helpful than Optimus Prime and Vector Prime combined. And in this episode, we're with, I can't remember what team number this is, but it's Snarl, Leo Breaker, and Jetfire.
Mm-hmm. It is team two, and they come across a huge hole in their tunnel, and they wonder what to do next. Gee, what would be the best thing to do to continue their journey down into the planet? Go down the hole.
Well, I think it's Jetfire is even like, hey, we're supposed to go down. So they jump down to it. But Leo, I think it's Leo Breaker, comments that Snarl's lucky since cats always land on their feet. But you're a cat too, dude.
Yeah, he's the cat. And they all jump
down in
robot mode, right?
Yeah. Like,
he doesn't even transform into lion mode. Jetfire doesn't even fly down. They all land on their feet and they're all fine.
Yeah. So then we go to Optimus Prime's team and they're moving along after they drive over Ransack and Crumple Zone.
Yes. So I guess these guys are just still after them because we're going to see them pestering them again. But they're still trying to get to the key first, I guess. But they swear they'll have the last laugh. And now with Team 1, Lori's team, they're taking the elevator, the functioning elevator in this abandoned part of Gigantion. And Override thinks something's wrong.
Yeah, I forget what she says, but it's something like the layout is different here than it was everywhere else, which, okay, it looks the same to me. But Wingding points out that this is a prime location for an ambush.
Yep, he said the name. And that's exactly the point, Thunderblast says from the shadows, and she and Scourge jump down from the rafters.
And thus begins Lori turning into a bit of a Karen. Starts going off on Snarl on Scourge, and okay, we'll get into in a bit why it makes no sense that everybody is terrified of her for some reason.
Yeah.
But the thing I could not help but notice is every time she starts talking and then yelling, she's got this one snaggle tooth like hanging out of her mouth.
This little vampire tooth. Yeah. It's like one. Immediately reminded me of, and any dear listener that's played this game, is Midna from Twilight Princess. Like, you might even know who that is as someone who's never played the game. That little sprite character that follows you around where she's got that one little tooth. It's exactly
oh,
that.
Oh, hey, wait, no. Take the sound back. Don't play the sound, because she's the little flying thing. Like, she's all black. I think she has a tail or something, but she's got a weird crown on her head.
Yeah.
Like, yellow, orange eyes. She flies around. She's, like, chubby. I know that reference. But, yeah, she, Lori, like, just berates Scourge for having no honor and joining the Decepticons, and he is really, really, like, taken aback by her.
Yeah, and she calls Thunderblast this Decepticon floozy. Why you hang around with her, and what kind of honorless coward sets up ambushes and hides in shadows? Like, she's just letting him have it. And Scourge is like, no, you got it all wrong. They made me an offer, the Decepticons. Yeah, that's it. And she's like, oh, so you're just a greedy mercenary now then, is it? No honor at all.
And while he's trying to defend himself, Thunderblaster says, I had to write this down. She says, in this voice, little sister, you better check yourself. And I was like, no, don't do that.
No,
don't do that. But she then calls Lori a mouse because she's like tiny and annoying and vermin. And the two start talking shit to each other.
Well, yeah, Lori calls her Deceptive Witch and tell her put up them dukes. And like Lori's standing there ready to fight this Transformer that's 18 feet tall, made out of metal. And Override and Wingding get ready to back her up, I guess.
I would have loved to know what her plan was there. Wait, she didn't have one. Okay. Anyway, we go over to Jetfire's team and they land at the bottom of this pit and are immediately attacked by Thundercracker.
Yeah, so he was down here too, like in this tunnel that he shouldn't know about. And Jetfire tells them split up. He'll take care of Thundercracker, who seems offended that they don't consider him to be that much of a threat, that they all have to deal with him. So he's going to use his forbidden attack, which is what I thought he said. Or I guess he calls Jetfire Jack one of the two. He's like, I'm going to use my forbidden attack. Jack. Yeah, I guess he said Jack.
Well, I did like that the two cats are like, no, we're going to stay to help. Well, you know what? It is only Thundercracker. And like you said, that sets him off. So he attacks those cats. Jetfire attacks him. And that's when he's going to use his forbidden attack. And Jetfire's reply is, say what now?
And back with Team 4, Crumple Zone and Ransack still won't give up, and Optimus ends them flying again, and then straight back with Team 1 with Midna, I mean Lori, we're still having a standoff, and Scourge is the one that thinks things look bad. Like, unless it's a race or flying, he could easily take Override or Wingding in a fight. And what are you worried about?
I still don't know why he's so worried about Lori. I do like that he does call her little sister. I do like that that carries throughout this series. But then Thunderblast distracts Lori with, what's that on your shoe?
Yeah, and Lori falls for it, and Thunderblast runs for it. And now Lori's really mad, and the claws come out, and she bullies Wingding, basically, into chasing after Thunderblast.
And her Snaggletooth is now on the other side of her mouth. Don't know why. I think that it's like, because also, when she got angry, there's this weird little red plus sign.
Yeah.
I think these are like anime things that I just don't get, where it's like, this is conveying an emotion.
It's like when the great big bead of sweat appears on them. Yeah,
exactly. So she demands that Wingding, and they fly off after Thunderblast, which they do. And then Scourge is like, oh, thank God she didn't attack me. I don't know why you're scared of her, but he is. Then Override squares off with him.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's still here for some reason. Instead of going with Lori or continuing to head for the key, she's going to stay here and talk to Scourge, I guess. And Scourge has been waiting for this opportunity to see who's stronger, the giant leader of Beast Planet, where all they ever do is fight, or the speedy leader of Speed Planet, where they never fight and only race. Man, this isn't an even contest.
Well, later on, there's a bit of a Zangief kind of Chun-Li vibe going on. But
absolutely.
Before that, we go to Wingding, who is trailing Thunderblast, and Lori is like, get her. She is lost in rage. And Wingding realizes she's not running full speed. She is getting us to follow her. She's baiting us into a trap.
Yeah, she's not running fast enough for a flying airplane behind them. It doesn't matter. But yeah, Lori's gonna show Thunderblast that she's a real Autobot, so they can't turn around now, and they realize
she's not Lori. I don't okay. A, I don't get why everybody was scared of her. B, I do not understand why Lori is so mad at everybody now and wants to be, quote, a real Autobot. You're a fucking human.
Exactly. You're not made of metal. But they realize that Thunderblast is running to the water, because there's water here now, and commercial break.
And when we come back, Thundercracker charges up, I had to write this down, his super electric lightning thunder kraken punch, which just blasts Jetfire away. Like, usually these big explosions or big hits, like, sends an Autobot or a Decepticon flying through the air. Jetfire hits the ground and just like a bubba da boobity bubba da
boobity,
just rolls off the ground. Oh, my shoe! And like lands on his face, and then stands up and is like, all right, nice shot.
Yeah, it was a good punch, mate. About time he did something useful. And now it almost kind of seems like they're buddies, or they have respect for each other, because it's like Skyrim, where you beat the shit out of somebody in a brawl and then immediately you can recruit them as a companion. it's kind of like that.
So we go to Thunderblast, who is now shooting at Wingding from underwater. And Lori is shocked she's underwater, even though A, she's a fucking boat, and B, Lori has seen her travel underwater on their magic closed-circuit television cameras.
Yeah, and she does manage to land a hit on Wingding, and he starts to crash, but he does level off before he's like flying right at the surface of the water, and he's telling Lori, look, I told you so, it was a trap, but she insists on staying so Thunderblast doesn't win.
Yeah, no, right. Whatever. But we go back to Scourge, and this is what I was saying with the Chun-Li Zangief kind of fight. Scourge is swinging wildly at Override. I think I said whatever. But he's swinging wildly at Override, who is just too fast for him, and then she returns fire and knocks him on his back. I kind of like this little fight. It's a little too short, but it's a good fight.
Yeah, she's just way too fast for him. And now back in Saints Row 4, because that's exactly what this looks like if you've ever played that game, dear listener. Lori is almost at Kinsey's Inner Sanctum, and which is what it looked like to me. And I guess Wingding landed to let her out, because Lori is now outside of Wingding. And now he's fighting Thunderblast on his own, but Thunderblast goes underwater to dodge his fire, and they reuse the exact same animation when she fires back at him.
She does. I want to go back. Hey, dear listener, if you didn't know, we did a review of Saints Row 4, and you can go listen to it. I can't remember. It's like way, way back in the episodes, but if you go to transformersnitpickers.podbean.com, you can find it if you do a search. Anyway, Lori then finds an alien control plant panel that is human-sized and insists she can use it because she got a B+ in computer class.
Yes.
Okay.
Unlabeled buttons, and it's in a room that's got power at the top of a thing with an elevator that worked to get her up there. Yeah. So, either way, she activates some kind of circle of cranes, I guess.
Yeah. This, when it pans out, it's a neat idea. It's a little weak that it worked, but it's a fun at the end. But so Thunderblast is shooting Wingding. He falls into the water, and then he's like trying to fly around or swim around underwater. And she's mocking him like, hey, underwater, I'm going to catch you. And then starts humming the Jaws theme.
That made me laugh. Yeah, where he's like trying to get away from her. And she's like, dan it, dan it. But she gets him cornered. And rather than just do whatever it is she was going to do and have it done, Lori has to talk about it for 10 minutes, but eventually hits the button and all the crane things drop into the water and surround Thunderblast. And then the last one traps her underneath it.
And that's when Wingding decides to open fire on her, and somehow shooting her while she's pinned under a crane causes the water to explode. And then she goes flying and all the cranes are fine and she's, whoop, she's gone.
And that also means that this entire side trip solved nothing. So back with Jetfire, he and Thundercracker must have been at it for a while now because they're both in bad shape. They're like all burnt and scratched and everything else. And now the rescue team is here. And Kobe runs to Jetfire and tries to get him to wake up. Quick Mix goes over to Thundercracker, who asks him for a get well card. But Quick Mix buries him in cement.
So then we go back to Scourge and Override. They're fighting. They're getting knocked around, and then suddenly Lori's here.
Well, yeah, because Scourge is getting more and more pissed off that he can't land a hit. Override's just too fast, and he throws his boomy knock or whatever this weapon is, which hits the wall above the door just as Lori runs in, and it starts to cause a cave-in, and for a second he's like, oh, like, what have I done kind of thing, at least you would think. Never comes back to that. But then Wingding flies in and grabs Lori at the last second, gets her to safety.
I feel like they're trying to do an Alexis Starscream thing here with Scourge and Lori. It doesn't
except
work.
Coming at it the other way. Like before, it was Alexis trying to be Starscream's friend. Now it's...
Anyway, Wingding saves Lori, and then they look up, and Scourge is like on the other side of the room closing a door, and Lori's like, oh, you're running away, are you? And he insists that he's actually withdrawing to a more honorable position for another fight. Sure you are.
Yep. Whatever you have to tell yourself, man.
So then, oh, this was so Deus Ex. Lori like runs up and goes, oh, how dare you? And like kicks the wall in the exact perfect spot where her foot lands squarely in the middle of the invisible button that opens the floor and a giant, well, we find out it's a projector, but it looks like a giant ray gun from a 50s sci-fi show.
That's a very good way of describing it. Yeah, because what it does is it casts this image of gigantic star system on the ceiling, and then Lori asks, where are we? And I think the block of wood messed up here, because she was probably meant to ask, okay, what are we seeing? Because it shows Gigantian in ancient times.
And while they're watching this ancient times Gigantian, actually, there was one funny line where she's like, it's so futuristic. And Override or Wingding are like, actually, it's ancient stuff. And she's like, oh. But this other planet, let's call it, descends over the city, and a whole bunch of sideways assists fly out.
Thunderblast calls Lori a mouse, and now it's on. Lori has to show her she's a real Autobot. And I know she doesn't mean literally, she means in spirit. But Lori, a real Autobot wouldn't give a shit what a Decepticon called them. She thinks you're a mouse? Well, she's the one running from a mouse. There's no point in chasing her. You already won. Let her go. You're going to come back to where you left Override fighting Scourge after this long and entirely pointless side trip anyway, so it clearly wasn't the way to the key, which begs the question, if the Decepticons managed to beat the Autobots to get this far into the tunnels they couldn't possibly have known about in the first place, then why aren't they making a beeline for the key and sealing things up behind them like I told the Autobots to do last time? Also, by the end of this one, the Autobots know where every Decepticon besides Galvatron is. If they compared notes over the radio, they could tell Hotshot's team, who we haven't seen yet, that they either have a clear path ahead, or Galvatron and Menasor are lying in wait for them and they're probably going to die. Could go either way. But because Galvatron certainly wouldn't just go for the key. That'd be silly. He's going to stop and bash some Autobots around first. Name of the episode is Ambush, not Do What Makes Sense. Also, he couldn't go...
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. The episode we just reviewed was Ambush. Paul, what was a pleasant surprise?
Ransack and Crumple Zone were kind of fun. Like, I like how not even the characters on the show are taking them at all seriously anymore, and they never get up. It's always back on the horse, and they played Thunderblast exactly the way we'd expect, right? Trying to use what she perceives as their weaknesses against them, especially Lori's. Oh, she's the really moody, emotional one. Let's use that to try and lure her away from Scourge. Maybe that was the whole idea, to get Wingding away so Scourge could beat the shit out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, pretty good episode. I really like the pacing on it. Last episode, we were like, oh, this one's Optimus team heavy. I wonder if they're going to do every team has a different episode. But they were jumping around a lot, and I like that. It kept me engaged the entire time. So there wasn't a part where I was like, okay, get to somebody else's story. They jumped around enough, but kept everybody's story progressing pretty well. I don't get why Scourge was so scared of Lori.
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing the whole like elephants afraid of mice trope, but I did like that Lori made herself useful. I like it when humans and Autobots work together and it's they're both doing something and it's not the human saying, here's strategy, here's how to use technology.
Well, also it's kind of like going back to when Lori first met Scourge, where she was hiding behind Override the whole time. This time she's not hiding behind anybody. She is getting in his face. Like,
yeah,
she's fucking had it with him. Like, what are you doing running around with these guys after all the shit they put you through back on Jungle Planet, right? What's wrong with you? You're hiding in shadows. What kind of warrior does that?
I also like the Jaws theme. That was just a fun little gag. It worked.
Yes.
It just doesn't make sense in that Thunderblast, like, probably never saw Jaws, but whatever. It gave me a chuckle.
Yeah.
The next episode Paul and I are going to review is Challenge. If you want to challenge us with a question, you can email the show at transformersnitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us on your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com, which would include the Saints Row 4 episode we did. We also did a pole position episode
as fun.
And I think, I know I've said it a few times, we really do, Paul, we really need to do like a Voltron or a G.I. Joe episode. I think that'd be fun. But Transformers never gets up. Keep on transforming.
See you later. No, you got it all wrong.